gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Align, Saving Kids, Kids of All Ages and all stages, not just young children. We're here to help you with referrals, support groups. For all mental health issues, we can give you referrals to therapists, to schools, to inpatient and outpatient rehab, clinics, sober living, whatever it is that you may be struggling with. You can call the Mask confidential number, 718-758-0400, and we will try and get you the best referral that meets your needs. If you want to have a program, maybe in your kid's school, PTA, we can have therapists come and train staff, parents, whether it's for mental health issues or even naloxone. Naloxone is a form of Narcan, and it is an inhaler that one can administer to one that is overdosing on opioids. So if you want a free training and a free kit, please call the Mask confidential number, and we will arrange to get you one, even to your home. So give us a call. Maybe you want to write our number down. Again, maybe it's for yourself, your loved one, your friend, your neighbor, or someone you sit next to in school. Our number is 718-758-0400. We have on with us tonight a very, very amazing, talented person that I have been following for so many years, and Mask was so really lucky enough to have him in person last Sunday at a workshop, and that is the none other than the author Rick Lavoie. I'd like to welcome you on tonight with us. Thank you for making the time.
Well, good evening. It's absolutely my pleasure.
Rick, last week's event was just unbelievable. It was amazing. The phones have not stopped. I'm not exaggerating. Every day since that event, people are calling, asking for the video, the tape of the workshop that you did. It was very, very well accepted. And, Mirta Shem, for those that are interested, hopefully by next week, midweek, after Wednesday next week, it will be available. So if somebody is listening in and would like to get access to that information, to that video and tape, please call the Mask helpline. It really was wonderful.
Well, you know,
go on.
It's difficult for me to talk about that evening without sounding patronizing. My wife and I have worked together and traveled together and in this effort for 50 years, and I came back to the hotel and I said, I don't remember that I've ever had a better evening than I did with you folks that Sunday. It was, the audience was so warm, was so welcoming, so intelligent. The questions I asked were absolutely superior to the questions I generally get. You know, I said to the audience, and again, it's difficult to talk about this without sounding patronizing, but I think when I look back in my career, one of the greatest things that is the most meaningful things and humbling things that's happened to me in the last 50 years is in the last several years how my work has been accepted by the Jewish educational community. It's not my background, it's not my heritage, but we share a love of children, we share concern for children, and we share the knowledge that it's our job to educate all children. And I've just been so impressed and so humbled by the reception that I've received, particularly in Brooklyn. And Sunday, that day we spent with you folks on Sunday was just one I'll never forget.
It was great.
You know, I wonder if the audience realizes, by the way, how fortunate they are to have MASC in their community. I've dealt with Jewish educational communities in Dallas and Los Angeles and Chicago and Miami, pretty much all over the country, and there is nothing out there like MASC, like what you provide for your community. To parents, when the child is struggling, no matter what the age or the stage, when the child is struggling, the parent is desperate for help, they turn to the Internet, and frankly, the Internet has an awful lot of trash on it, if you will. It has information that's really not helpful. In fact, can be counterindicated sometimes, the advice they give, or they have to go through word of mouth, and now in your community, they can call MASC and get a referral and get some information. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yep, we've been doing this for 22 years, going strong.
Terrific.
Baruch Hashem. Thank you. Rick, I want to bring up that I want to talk about your specialty, which is the learning disabilities, mm-hmm. but I also want to mentioned that you have wonderful books, whether they're about motivation or social successes for children. There are so many wonderful books that are available and information and videos. So if anyone is interested, you can go on to ricklavoie.com, and that's ricklavoie.com. So let's get right to it. Learning challenges. I mean, so many of our children struggle. They don't all learn the same. They're not all wired the same. Some are audio, some are visual. There are so many different descriptions of learning disabilities. That's not my specialty. That's your specialty. And I'd like you, just for my audience, to please first give the best definition of learning disabilities, please.
Well, the best definition is one that I call the definition of exclusion, and that is, give me five children who are struggling in school. Remove the child who has a mental impairment, who is mentally impaired in some way. Remove the child who has a primary emotional disturbance. Remove the child who's got a modality problem, who's deaf or blind or whatever. And remove the child who hasn't had the opportunity to learn. And then the child that's remaining is a learning disabled child. That is the child who's not learning in school, and yet he's intelligent, he doesn't have primary emotional problems, his modalities are intact, and he's had the opportunity to learn, and yet he's still not learning. It's really a definition of exclusion, what the child isn't rather than what he is. And it's important to understand that there are many children that need special help, but they're not going to benefit from learning disabilities help because they have one of those other kinds of problems.
Yes, and you came out with an amazing, I'm talking about unreal, video called Fat City.
Yeah,
can you talk about that, please?
Well, it was really born out of frustration. When I was a very young teacher, I recognized that a great irony about education, and that is, if you're a teacher, I can tell you two things about yourself. You did well in school. You've got to have a degree to be a teacher, so you did well in school, and you enjoyed going to school. If you didn't enjoy going to school, why would you choose to spend the rest of your life in a place called school? So the great irony is that those of us who teach generally didn't have trouble in school ourselves. So we can't relate to the child who can't read, who can't learn to read, who can't learn to write the way the rest of us do. So I said, why don't I come up with an experience that gives teachers the opportunity to be learning disabled, to actually give teachers a learning disability. And it's a workshop that I did for years on the road, and then we made a video of it and through a nonprofit organization, And it basically takes a group of adults and makes them learning disabled by doing various activities. It's over 35 years old now. It sold as many copies last year as it did the year it came out. It still is finding new audiences. It's very humbling for me because I didn't really expect that much would become of it, and now it's one of the largest selling educational videos in education. And what it does is it sensitizes the adult to what the child is going through. So many of the people at Sunday's event came up to me and said that they had seen the video. It's shown in universities and colleges all over the world, and it just is a little one-hour opportunity to walk in the shoes of kids who struggle with learning.
And so many do, Rick. I mean, in every school, in every community, in every religion, there are people, children, young adults that are struggling, and a lot of them don't do well in elementary or high school, and then they choose to go on to college, get a GED, and many times they do well in college. So can you explain why?
Well, to be truthful with you, the laws that protect and cover people with learning disabilities as adults are better than the laws that protect them as children, which is sort of ironic, and it shouldn't be that way. But colleges are required under federal law. Even private colleges need to provide learning centers for students with learning problems. And so you're absolutely right. There are some students that actually find college more successful than high school. Unfortunately, though, as well, there are many students who are very, very bright who never go on to college because of the failure they've experienced in high school. But colleges are doing a better job than high schools are at really taking care of these students. And again, I'm finding the Jewish educational community is much quicker to embrace these students than other faith-based schools. Most faith-based schools, whether they be Catholic or Protestant, will just reject the child with special needs. But Jewish day schools, by your heritage, is so family-oriented that if a child comes along in the family with a learning problem, the school says, let's see what we can do to help this child.
I'm glad you brought up the word family, because I do want to thank Yad Malki. I want to thank Mr. and Mrs. Avram and Rivka Klein, who partnered with MASC to bring you to do this workshop. We had a full room. We had hundreds of therapists, teachers, parents that attended, and it wasn't an hour speech. It started at 9 a.m., and it didn't even finish till around almost 3 in the afternoon. And it was in memory of their loving daughter, Malka Bas Avraham Shalom. And they came out, they translated a book. And I know you got one of those books. It's available for purchase. Anyone interested is welcome to give us a call. We'll get you the book. But I wanted you to talk about your experience after receiving that book and what your take is on it, please.
Well, meeting the clients was a great honor for me. The legacy that they've left for her daughter is something that was extraordinarily inspiring. They have a wonderful video that's available that tells a little bit about her life through her own words. And, of course, she struggled so much with learning that it created some difficulties for her outside the classroom, and they ended up tragically losing her long before her time. They were such an amazing couple. Ave is my new best friend. I'm just absolutely inspired by the work that he's doing with you folks. And he introduced me to the book. I was unfamiliar with it, and I have a library full. I mean, I have a college library in my office of books. I have hundreds and hundreds of books. And since I got that book, it hasn't gone up on the shelf. It sits on my desk because I refer to it about 10 times a day. It's just extraordinary. And I know it's going to make a big, big difference for a lot of teachers and a lot of therapists.
Absolutely. So, yes, we showed the video of Malki's life at our event. It is available also. Anybody can go on to YouTube and find it. Malki Klein, very tragic, such a big loss, a young woman, a young girl. She's a girl.
Yes.
And we hope that the event that we did should be Le'iloi Nishmas her neshama, that it should bring great advancement to the religious schools, the teachers, your work, sharing it with all of us.
Yeah.
And training everyone.
Yeah. Well, Malky left a wonderful message, and basically it was that she was fragile, and then she broke. And she said the important thing is to catch the kids when they're fragile, so, you know, not wait. And the clients did an amazing job of giving her every single bit of support they could. They were extraordinary parents, and despite their best efforts, she lost the battle that she was fighting. But it was an extraordinary legacy that family has left. It was humbling to meet them.
Absolutely, really. It's just an amazing book. It's a big book to read, and every page is just, I'm in the middle of reading it, and I just find it so insightful, so understanding, and really it belongs in everyone's home. And people should get educated in the struggles, because we know that learning disabilities, I mean, I founded MASS 22 years ago, and all through the years, I mean, I have thousands and thousands and thousands of clients whose kids struggle with learning differences. And I know there's an impact. We've watched them over the years. The impact on the social life is very great.
Oh, it's extraordinary.
So, I'd like you to expand on that, please.
Well, I think one of the things that I told the audience on Sunday was that we need to come to the profound understanding that kids go to school for a living. It's their job. They do it 7 hours a day. In fact, frankly, in the Jewish community, it's not only their job, it's their entire identity. I mean, if you bump into an 11-year-old in your community you haven't seen for a while, the first thing you say to them is, hello, how's school? You know, we identify kids with how well they do in school, and what happens is the difficulties they have in school bleed into their social life. They can be very impulsive. They can sometimes very candidly be difficult social partners. The book that I wrote about that is called It's So Much Work to Be a Friend, because to be a friend with a child with a learning disability is a great deal of work. It's not supposed to be work. It's supposed to be fun, but it is, because the kids, all of the kids' language and learning problems that they have, you know, bleed over into their social life and into their ability to handle interaction with other kids. I say in the book that the key to being a successful child is you need to be able to do three things to be a successful child. You need to be able to share, to wait your turn, and follow the rules. You do those three things as a kid, you're going to do okay. And if you look at those are three very difficult things for kids with learning disabilities and attention deficit disorders to do. Difficult for them to wait their turn, difficult for them to follow and understand the rules. And so they basically violate the three rules of childhood, and as a result, they become isolated and rejected by other kids. So you've got the child who's failing in school. He doesn't think his teachers understand him. He doubts if his parents understand him. So he does what we all did as kids, which is to turn to our fellow children, and they don't understand us. And that's when things begin to get very, very dark, that you just don't feel you've got anybody in your life who understands. In the book, there's a 30-page chapter on how to have a play date for your learning disabled child. Now, you know as a mom, a play date is just one mom drops off the kid and picks him up 2 hours later. You don't have to prepare for it. But to make it be successful for a child with learning disabilities, you need to plan every moment of that play date, or it's gonna blow up on you. So it's a whole different thing when you're parenting one of these kids. One of the workshops I do for families is a thing called On the Waterbed, the special needs child at home and in the family. And basically what it compares that a family of five is like five people lying side by side in a waterbed. Whenever one person moves, everyone feels a ripple. And that's the way it is in a family. If one member of the family's having trouble, dad's having trouble at work, one of the kids is struggling at school, if anybody in that family is struggling, it impacts the entire family. And I've done a lot of work on brothers and sisters of special needs kids and how their view of the world changes, and grandparents, how they react to it. It really does become a family affair. which is why an organization like MASC is so important.
Thank you. So let's talk about some of the common myths or misconceptions that are held by teachers and parents.
And, you know, to be honest with you, this is frustrating for me because the field is over 50 years old now, and yet these myths still continue. I mean, I did a workshop in Chicago just last week and talked about some of these myths, and you could see people writing it down like they didn't know that it was true. And it's really frustrating because we've all worked so hard to get the word out, but there still are people who don't understand. And let me just run over some of them. One of the most common myths is that only boys can have this, that girls can't. Well, you know, Melky Klein is a perfect example of that. In fact, now there's some people saying it's closer to 50-50 than we ever thought. But as recently as last month, I was in a meeting and someone said, well, that kid can't have a learning disability, it's a girl. Well, girls have it just as much as boys do. That these kids can't learn, it's not that they can't learn, it's that you have to teach the way that they learn. Part of your great heritage in education is if a child can't learn the way we teach, we have to teach the way that he learns. And
right. I'm going to interrupt you and say, Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko, and that's what you were just saying in here.
Yeah, it's a huge part of your heritage. As part of your heritage is that all children should be educated. Not just the bright, best and the brightest, but the community should educate all children. Another myth is they outgrow it. No, they don't. It doesn't go away. It's neurologically based, and the neurological system is the only system in the body that can't repair itself once it's damaged. And so the child who's a learning disabled child will be a learning disabled adult. It doesn't mean they can't be wildly successful, because they can be, but it's not going to go away. One myth is that it only affects schoolwork. No, it affects everything the child does. It affects the way he cleans his room, the way he plays soccer, it affects everything that he does. And the last one is that to accommodate for these kids and give them extra help is unfair to the others. My whole career has been based on talking about the concept of fairness, that in order to be fair, you need to treat people differently. Many people think in order to be fair, you got to treat everyone the same, but actually fairness doesn't mean everyone gets the same. Fairness means everyone gets what he or she needs. And so in order to be fair, as a parent or a teacher, you need to treat the special needs kids differently. He's going to take more time, more energy, and more resources than the other kids. That's not the same, but it's fair.
Absolutely. Very, very well put. I do want to ask from your experience, and you have been speaking at many religious community programs, workshops, including you've done Torah Masorah in the past. Why do students with learning disabilities cause such a special challenge to the Jewish educational community?
Well, for a couple of reasons. One of my rabbi friends, I said to him, I don't purport to be anywhere an expert in your heritage. I'm just not. I'm a Roman Catholic from Boston, and I've just been embraced by the Jewish education community. But I asked the rabbi one time, why is education so important to the Jewish people? And he answered me in an instant. He said, because it's portable. He said, we're a people who have been driven out of our lands. We're a people who people have come and taken our homes and taken our jewels and taken our gold, but they can't take away our education. Once you've got that education, you take it with you everywhere you go. So because education is so important in the Jewish community, a child who's struggling or failing in education really, really becomes, it gets put under the microscope. You know, what is wrong with this child? And the other thing, of course, your dual curriculum presents real challenges to kids with special needs. But and again, the insistence on excellence in education. But I think, as I said earlier, two of the tenets of your educational heritage are that you educate every child and you teach the way the child learns. So it's, I think, a special responsibility of the Jewish educational community. Like I said, parochial schools, Catholic schools, a child with a learning disability will apply, and they just say, no, we can't help you. But the great part of your heritage is, no, we want to be family schools, we want to deal with every member of the family, and we want the family to embrace us as we embrace them. And so how can you say no to a child who struggles? And if you saw it, Abe's video, Malky was rejected at some schools that didn't seem to understand what her needs were, and then some heroes came by and saved her.
and I do want to mention publicly, is that not all schools are equipped properly to service children with learning differences.
Yep.
So many a time a school will say you need to send your child somewhere else,
yep,
is because they are just not equipped. But how they do it is what's,
yep,
so crucial, to reach out to MASC and other organizations,
absolutely,
to help, so that not to hurt their self-esteem,
yep,
et cetera,
no,
on
I,
that
I,
journey.
I have great respect for schools who just say, this child, we're not capable of dealing with a child. It's our fault, not yours, not the child's, but let us help you find somewhere else.
Right.
Because not all schools are equipped to do it. But I think what they're finding is that we talked about universal design, that at the conference, that many of the things we do with special needs kids work with all kids, and I think teachers are beginning to realize that they can modify their teaching a little bit to help out the learning disabled child, but they also help out all the other kids. And I think schools are beginning to realize that maybe they can stretch and accommodate their programs a little bit more than they have and begin to accept some of these, particularly the kids who are sort of borderline and not in severe trouble.
Yeah, and I know there are many people, including myself and other Ascunim and other community organizations, that are meeting. Every day there are meetings trying to figure out the best way to help these children when they are struggling in order to get the right resources in place for them.
Yep.
So I do want to mention the name of the book. I didn't mention it. It's called Spare the Child, Essentials of Torah Chinuch. Rabbi Yechiel Yaakovson in Israel wrote it in Hebrew. The Kleins had it translated in English. It is available in your local stores, your bookstores, in your local stores in Brooklyn. If somebody wants to get the book and the stores are sold out in the Judaica stores, feel free to call the MASC helpline. We have 1 minute left. How can parents help to develop and foster child motivation, please?
Well, we can't do it in 1 minute, but I'll tell you, I'm a big believer in chores for kids. That my belief is that it's the school's job to teach kids how to learn. It's the parents' job to teach kids how to work. And if you can give your child a good work ethic and teach your child, and the work ethic just means take your job seriously, do it well, and clean up afterwards. I think one of the greatest things parents can do to teach kids motivation is to assign chores that are age-appropriate, start real young, and have kids have responsibilities around the house, and it'll teach them a great deal about motivation and responsibility.
Oh, time is flying. So I wish we can go on and on. Maybe I'll have you on again.
We'll do it again sometime.
Wonderful having you on. I want to also say thank you to Rabbi Ephraim Eliyahu Shapiro, who gave words of chizuk. It was wonderful to listen to, and I hope everybody took home with them some learning experiences to be able to share with their community. Thank you, Rick.
It's
very
my pleasure.
Being on.
Thank you.
And I want to wish everyone a very good evening. A beautiful Shabbos. Again, our number is 718-758-0400. If you need a referral, feel free to give us a call. And let's always remember, hang in, hold on, and hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
After over 40 years of serving the Borough Park community at 13th Avenue and 49th Street, Klein's Pharmacy has closed its doors. All records and prescriptions have been entrusted and transferred to Moshe's Pharmacy at 4508 13th Avenue, so Klein's customers can continue to receive excellent and prompt service. Moshe's Pharmacy provides an exceptional, personalized, friendly pharmacy experience that's sorely lacking in most chain pharmacies. Moshe's is the third largest pharmacy in the country that gets free trial medicines due to the relationships with the major drug companies. Even if you don't have insurance, My Jesus is able to get you free trial drugs for 30 days. They offer the best prices on prescriptions and pharmaceutical supplies, bypassing middlemen to give you discounted prices. My Jesus Pharmacy is located at 4508 13th Avenue and is open 24 hours a day except for Shabbos. Fast, free, no minimum, same-day delivery till midnight. Available not only to Borough Park, but to Queens, Manhattan, Five Towns, and beyond. Call them at 718-686-9999. Call now, 718-686-9999. Meishi's Pharmacy.